Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, it was a beautiful day, and it was just so gorgeous, and it was such a wonderful wedding. It was beautiful. The bride was beautiful. The groom was handsome. And then the reception that followed the ceremony was absolutely perfect. Following that, then, was the ideal honeymoon. Eventually, things got to normal. The couple back at home, making their way, you know, into a household, and the inevitable happens. There is some conflict, and they begin to have some words with each other. Now, I forgot to mention the fact that the bride was a police officer. And so as this was gaining in momentum and volume, she looked straight at him right in the eye. She said, "You have the right to remain silent." Jesus, in the scripture that we just read, is telling us about our rights. He's reading our rights to us. And that is, the whole message is, be careful about what you say. Here's a direct quote. "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." Now, James, a guy that was there taking all of this in, he later on wrote a kind of a commentary on the words of Jesus. And this is what he wrote in the letter that has his name on it. "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak." Now, an individual who had probably the greatest mastery of words of anyone of his time, or maybe even any time, David, the psalmist, he wrote this. He said, "Set a guard, O door, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." And by the way, doors can be shut as well as open. Now, his son, Solomon, who was known as the wisest man in all of history, said this, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he opens his lips, when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." In our 2020 vision of this year, today we're talking about watching something, looking at something. Watch your words. Watch what you say, because words mean things. Words are powerful, both for good and for evil. Now, I want you to consider for a moment the body parts that are used with regard to interpersonal communication. And I want you to do the math with me. God gave us two ears and only one mouth. Does this suggest some kind of possibility for us? Does it tell you anything? God wants communication to flow freely between people, but oftentimes that does not happen. Sometimes it happens because people just don't say anything. They just shut up. They don't say anything, which can be one of the most hostile kinds of things. But more often than that, people use way too many words, and communication breaks down because people so often don't know how to listen. Training workshops and couples therapy on interpersonal communication take much more time on the art of listening than they do on the art of speaking. My wife says that when my family gets together, everybody is talking and nobody listens. Now, I kind of remember it a bit different. I thought it was her family that was that way. Now, there's a classic movie that's called Cool Hand Luke, which stars Paul Newman, who delivers this memorable line, "What we've got here is a failure to communicate." But words mean things. And I want to explore four aspects of that. The first is the origin of speech. The second would be the purpose of words and speech, verbal communication. The third would be the abuse or misuse of it. And then finally, the restoration, the redemption of speech. So what about the origin of speech and language? Where did that come from? Who made that whole thing up? Obviously, it was God, because God wanted to communicate with people, and he wanted people to communicate with each other. Now, the first recorded act that we have from God is that he spoke. From Psalm 33 in the sixth verse, this is what we read, "By the word," get that, "by the word of the Lord the heavens were made." And then God said, God spoke, "Let there be light." You see, God is a speaker. God is a communicator. Word of the Lord, it's a phrase that is used frequently throughout the Bible. God will speak even through the phenomenon of nature itself, where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth declares," you know, shows forth his works. God speaks, and even more than that, God has ears and God listens. So there is an origin in God. Then there is a purpose. If God is the origin, then God simply certainly had a purpose for it. God invented it, so God has specific uses for speech. The first would be, and that's probably the most obvious, is communication, because words are containers of meaning. Words mean things. Now, persons man's first verbal communication was with God himself. But words are used to convey information, to convey truth, to express love and emotion. As a matter of fact, words of affirmation, according to author Gary Chapman, are one of the key love languages. Words can lead to intimacy, or words can alienate. Now, the second purpose is for praise and adoration. So we go from communication to adoration. Psalm 51 includes these words, "Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." In another psalm, we read, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." How about something out of the New Testament? Hebrews chapter 13. It says, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God," that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. The language of love flowing from our lips toward God in adoration. But there's also the language of prayer, a communication with God, the use of words. "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight." And then James said about prayer, "You do not have because you do not ask." Just simply use your words and ask. Philippians in the fourth chapter, these familiar words, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." A kind of a way of summarizing what prayer is all about is that word acts, A-C-T-S. A for adoration. C, speaking to God with confession. T is speaking to God with thanksgiving. And the S is speaking to God with our needs, with supplication, the acts of prayer. But we not only have this power of speech to speak to God, we have that to speak about God as well. And that is one of the purposes. It is witness, to tell what you know, what you have experienced, bearing witness to the salvation of our God that is available. And by using your words and the power of communication, you may likely have the opportunity to bring another person to faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, that is one of the key purposes for which God allows us to have the powers of speech. And finally, one more thing, and that is to make promises. We use words, we use language to make promises, like the vows of marriage, a solemn promise in the presence of God and witnesses. So we have the origin of speech and language, we have the purposes, and now what about abuses of speech? Jesus is addressing that in that part of the Sermon on the Mount that was read to you. Now, when humankind fell into sin, a significant fallout came, and that was the failure to properly communicate. Why? It's because everybody turned inward toward oneself, curved inward toward oneself. That results in several things. One of them is, we'll call it compulsive speech. Just talk, and without a whole lot of meaning. And when you're trying to get a word in edgewise, it's a little bit like trying to thread the needle of a sewing machine while it's running. You just can't get a word in there. How about another one? Self-focused and bragging speech. A friend of mine, a pastor, had a Sunday off, and he went to visit another church. And when he was there, he ran into someone that he had met before, but was also a pastor who had the Sunday off. And my friend found out in 5 minutes just how smart and how important that other man was. He just was always bragging about things. But the wisest man in the world, Solomon, said this. He wrote in Proverbs 27, "Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." How about another abusive speech, and that is lying and deceiving? Again, from the book of Psalms, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." God did not give us the powers of speech in order to tell lies or to deceive other people. How about another one? Flattering, insincere, manipulative speech. Again, I'm going to go to Psalms, Psalm 12, second verse. "Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak." Then there are words, their speech, that injure, that inflict wounds. And I would include gossiping in this as well. Words spoken, can they be retrieved? You can hear 99 words of affirmation and then one word with that kind of critical devastation. And which are the words you're going to remember? The 99 or the one? How about this one? Quite common. Maybe you're one of those abusers yourself. And that's words of sarcasm, dark humor, put downs. You know, thinking of what is the ultimate put down, there's a hostility that goes along with this. And words mean things. You may think that you're very clever, but you're just plain mean. How about another one? Words that are filthy, crude, and coarse, which are not fit for the mouth that God created to give him praise, adoration, and honor, and that is meant to build up and encourage other people. One more, and this one Jesus does deal with very explicitly in today's text from Matthew 5, false swearing, taking oaths unnecessarily, using the name of God to bolster your word. Somehow your word isn't quite enough. Your credibility is pretty suspect, and so you try to up your game. You ratchet it up with an oath. "I swear to God, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles, cross my heart and hope to die." You're actually putting a curse on yourself, and you're saying, "Hey, God, punish me if I'm not telling the truth or if I do not keep my promise." There was a very wealthy businessman who fell desperately ill. He was in the ICU and life hanging in the balance. He requested a visit from his pastor. He was getting ready to die and to meet his maker. And maybe he could cut a deal. You know, he'd read the book, The Art of the Deal. And so he said to the pastor, if God makes me better, and if I ever get out of here, I swear I'll contribute $1 million to the church. Now, you can imagine what the pastor did immediately. He said, let's pray. Well, he was not only praying that day, but he kept on praying. But God answered the prayer, and in a few days, the man left the hospital. So the pastor waited. He went out to the mailbox every day to see if the check was there. He kept on praying, Lord, let it happen. Let it happen soon. And after a respectable interval of time, he went to visit the man and reminded him the oath that he had sworn in his presence, the oath he had sworn to God. The man replied by saying, oh, did I really say that? Wow, that just goes to show you how sick I really was. Jesus concludes that whole section by saying, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Oh, yes, there are those permissible times, even mandatory times, for taking an oath, like in the court of law as a witness. God explicitly permits that. Or when you are sworn into public office, or when you are sworn into the military. So we have an origin of speech, we have the purpose of speech, we have the abuse of speech. Now, finally, let's talk about the reclaiming of speech, the restoration, taking it back to where it belongs. Now, God speaks, doesn't he? And he speaks in many ways. We are told that God spoke in many and varied ways to the prophets in times of old, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. That Son, Jesus Christ, is also referred to as the Word. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Word made visible. And God has expressed himself in Jesus. Now, God expresses himself in two distinct kinds of messages, two kinds of words. We're going to call them what the Bible calls them, law and gospel. One is bad news, the other is good news. Well, first, the bad news. We need to hear the word of the law. That's the bad news. As a matter of fact, it is compared to a mirror in which you can see yourself the way you really are. I got up this morning, I looked in the mirror, I saw myself as I really was. I said, I think I need to do something. I need to shave. I need to do something with my hair all over the place. So the law does not Photoshop our nasty features. And I'm not talking about the physical features. I'm talking about the spiritual features. It holds them up to the light. And John wrote this in his letter, one of his letters, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then Paul explicitly ties this to the law when he writes, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Today, we've talked a lot about the abuses of God's law, the abuse of the tongue, the distortion of speech away from God's intended purpose for it, which is to bless God and to build up other people. But the word of the law is an SOS. SOS, yes, shows our sin. Now, that's bad news. But the good news is that the bad news isn't the only news. There is good news. You want to know what God delights in saying? He wants to bring us the good news of the gospel. That's the other SOS. Instead of show our sin, this emphasizes show our Savior, show our salvation, the SOS of showing that good news. Well, Jesus not only said the word, Jesus is the word. Jesus not only brought good news, Jesus is good news. He is the Word made flesh, incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. Now, the law came by Moses, writes John, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, truth, love, forgiveness lavished upon us. This is the restoration now of speech. It is in Jesus Christ, who is the speaker of God. Powerful words that come to us from the Word. And until we encounter that word of the gospel, having passed through the condemnation that comes by the law, the conviction of our sin, and then receiving and trusting the good news that is ours in Jesus Christ by his death and his resurrection for us, we can hear his powerful words. Well, Jesus once spoke to a woman who had been taken in adultery, and what does he say to her? Neither do I condemn you. What about when Jesus spoke to a paralytic, a man who was paralyzed in body and apparently paralyzed in spirit and broken as well? He said, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." What about a time when Jesus spoke to a woman who had a very bad moral reputation, and he said to her, "Your sins, though many, are forgiven." Jesus spoke, and then he forgave, and he restored Peter, whose bragging and ill-considered words often got him into a heap of trouble. And then Jesus spoke about a humble man who went to the temple and just simply said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, that man went to his home justified. Jesus spoke from the cross, and the first word he said from the cross was directed to the Father on behalf of his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to a man who was condemned to death for his serious crimes, Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus spoke and he said, "My words are spirit and they are life." These are the words that we need to hear. And we cannot properly speak and use words and speech until we hear this word from God in our heart. Have you heard the word Jesus? Have you heard him speak his living word, his word of life, his word of forgiveness, personal forgiveness meant directly for you, his restoration of your purity so that you can be right with God no matter what? In the midst of all the confusion of the speech of this word, this world, the messages and the voices, there is one message and only one voice that you need to hear. If it's the only one you ever hear, it's the only one you will ever really need. Yet, whether you are a long-term, fully devoted follower of Jesus, or whether this is all really new to you, and maybe today is the first time you've ever really heard it. Listen, as the Spirit of God conveys today to you now the voice of Jesus. And he tells you, "I love you, I forgive you, I accept you, I empower you, I am changing your life to be increasingly in tune with the Father's will and purpose. Listen, for I am the way, the truth, and the life." Words mean things, and in particular, the words of the Word, Jesus Christ. And these words will bring you exactly what they say. Are you listening? Amen.